ultimately accepted anyone who fulfilled the criteria as Roman. It was not racist. You could be a Libyan and be a full Roman. You could be a Tunisian and be a full Roman. Augustine was nothing but a Tunisian who was a full Roman. You could be a Spaniard and be a full Roman. The great emperors Trajan and Hadrian were that. It wasn't about where you were from. It was about culturally who you were. And you could learn to be a Roman. You could learn to be a Roman. It was a good idea, probably, to learn to be a Roman. For heaven's sakes, St. Paul was a Roman and a Jew and a Christian. It was open in a way that the Greek society was never open and Hebrew society was never open. It was designed to be universal. This is to anticipate things a little bit. We're going to talk about Virgil in a second, but one of the high points, arguably the high point of the Aeneid, comes in Book 6 when the hero of the Aeneid, Aeneas, hears from his father in the underworld what the mission of Rome is supposed to be. And this is a passage, I'm reading it early because I'm talking about Rome, we're going to be bearing it in mind all the way through. And it's an explicit comparison of Rome with Greece. Others will cast more tenderly in bronze their breathing figures, I can well believe. The Greeks are going to be better sculptors than the Romans. And bring more lifelike portraits out of marble. Argue more eloquently. They're going to be better at talking pretty. Use the pointer to trace the paths of heaven accurately and accurately foretell the rising stars. They're going to be better astronomers. But you know what? There's not tons of practical use for astronomy outside of navigation. Roman, remember, by your strength to rule Earth's peoples, for these are to be your arts, to pacify, to impose the rule of law. That's the keynote right there. To impose the rule of law, to spare the conquered, battle down the proud. That's the Roman mission statement, consciously formulated as such by Virgil in writing his great poem. And that, at their best, is what the Romans imagined they were about. The Romans were not about destroying their culture in fratricidal small-scale wars between city-states. It was the Greek propensity for exactly that, arising at least from a Roman perspective in large part from their uncontrolled individualism that led ultimately to the destruction of Greece and Greece's being ruled by Rome, and in Roman eyes and in a surprising number of Greek eyes being better off for being ruled by Rome than it ever was when it was ruled by itself. Now it's time then to turn to the greatest surviving work of Latin literature, the work that has been, from the day it was released to the present, uninterruptedly a cultural classic in the West. More so, paradoxically perhaps, or surprisingly, than any other work, Virgil's Aeneid. It is fundamentally different from Homer. Homer, we're not dead sure who Homer was, or even if there was a Homer, and we don't have any real idea how this oral work got written down. Still less are the works that we encounter, the writings of the Hebrew Bible, in any sense like what we ordinarily think of as a book with an author. They're anonymous. They're written by Moses. They're written by God. They're certainly written not by Harry Walton of Stamford, Connecticut. That's not the way it works. This is entirely different. Virgil wrote this book. Nobody else. He wrote it slowly. He wrote it stylus in hand. He wrote it as a work of literature, very, very consciously, and he wrote it with Homer before him, and specifically to answer and to correct Homer. Indeed, in response to Homer. Rome, with its new tremendous political position, needed to have, so Virgil believed, should have its own epic that reflected Roman values.